Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for i5 for the iPhone is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Sarah Lane, and welcome to episode 14 of i5 for the iPhone, a show for iOS fans like you, like me, like my cat, Sam. Every week, we cover five topics from the best apps to the tips and tricks, and of course, the news you need to know. So let's get right into it. Number one. All right, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin all the free time that you're used to. Download an app called Letterpress, find someone to play with you, and say goodbye to your former life, because this game is addictive and you'll have to go to rehab. The way Letterpress works is that you start a game with a friend through Game Center. Ah, Game Center. Finally, a reason to use it. Or you get auto-matched with a stranger through Game Center if you don't have a lot of Game Center friends. Then, just create a word. The letters you use will be color-coded, and once your opponent plays a word, their letters will be color-coded with what they played last. At this point, the objective is to make as many words using current letters of your opponent's color as possible. If you play a never-before-used letter, you get a point. But if you use your opponent's colored letter, they also lose a point. So there's some strategy here. And it took a few rounds of people beating me really badly to understand how scoring works. But once you get the hang of it, it's not hard. Now, if you lock in a letter by playing letters surrounding it, it gets blocked. And then your opponent can't use it to take away points from you. And it goes without saying that you can't play a fake word or a word that Letterpress doesn't recognize. I tried to play Satan over the weekend and Letterpress said no, so whatever. This game very much has that draw something hype right now. It's huge. It's big. You've probably heard about it on Twitter already. But it's more of a Scrabble nerd type game, so I think maybe it has a little bit more staying power. It's also created by 8Bits. That's the company whose previous app, Tweety, was acquired by Twitter in 2010. I tell you this because you can tell that somebody put a lot of care into Letterpress's design and UI, kind of like Twitty was back in the day. It's really beautiful. By the way, thanks to Topher Sorensen on Twitter for the great find. Oh, and it's a universal app, so it'll run on the iPhone, the iPad, and the old iPad mini that nobody has yet. Now, if we can just keep Game Center from crashing, that's another story. Number two, wouldn't it be nice if your iPhone had a foreign language dictionary inside it so you never had to awkwardly translate words via Google search again? For 99 cents, you can have one. In fact, you can have a bunch of them. Languages is a new translation app designed for offline use. You just download the app, you choose which dictionaries you want access to, and you're good to go. No internet connection required. That's the key part. The reason that all the dictionaries aren't auto-installed is that each dictionary is about 16 megabytes. Most of us are probably only interested in one or two. English to Spanish and English to German dictionaries are preloaded. But I'm interested in the English to French, say. So that's an easy download, and of course it's free. Once I'm inside a dictionary, I can browse by the first letter of the word. I can swipe to search for a particular word. I can easily swap between English to French, say, or French to English. I can use my microphone to input a word by voice, absolument. But it goes without saying that it only works for English to another language. Definitely doesn't understand my français. Audio pronunciations of tricky words is also missing, and I would like that, even with the speak selection on in iOS. But the languages team says that's definitely coming in a future update, so they are working on it. For a dollar, I basically now have 12 language translation books in my phone, and they're not even heavy. I'll take it. Number three. Last week we talked about Mirrorgram, a great app to mirror your photos in kind of creative, exciting ways, right? Well, the other day, my friend Nate uploaded a photo to Instagram, and it caught my eye. Now, let's look at it now. It's pretty clearly mirrored, but it's not actually symmetrical. How'd he do that? Turns out Nate used an app called Touch Retouch to take out a little tree here, a little roof there, and create an asymmetrical effect on a mirrored image that tricks the eye into making an image that seems real yet impossible. So I went ahead and downloaded Touch Retouch, and this is actually a really handy app, and not just for mirror-grammed images. It's great for removing little parts of an image that make an otherwise really good photo not so good. A spot in the sky, telephone wires, ugly banners, that sort of thing. Even people. Here's an example. Last week, the Mister and I went to World Series Game 1, which set the tone for the rest of the series, but that's neither here nor there. As you can see, we were very excited to be there, and we took a self-portrait with the iPhone's front-facing camera, except that the lady sitting behind us was obviously also very happy to be there. Now, I like a photobomb as much as the next guy, but let's say I didn't. I could easily just take her out. Just lasso or brush the area that you want to remove from any image, hit the arrow to process, and voila, photobomber is gone. It's like she was never there at all. Obviously, retouch isn't perfect because it's just guessing what image data to remove based on what's around it. So results will vary depending on your photo. You can undo and redo as many times as you like, though. And with a little trial and error, you'll get better at it. For 99 cents, you're rewriting history, which seems like a deal to me. Time for some viewer feedback. We got some great tips in the i5 inbox this week, and instead of hoarding them all for myself, I'm going to share them with you. First email comes from Tom. He writes, "Here's a lightning cable tip. Apple shipping delay is 1 to 2 weeks out, and I don't have an Apple store in my area. Somehow, Sprint stores have piles of them. Even better, Sprint gives you 20% off two or more accessories, including lightning cables." Cool. Great tip, Tom. Here's another one from Jeremy, and this is in response to last week's episode when I admitted to tossing my iPhone in my jungle of a purse. It really is a jungle in there. He says, "I don't use a case, nor do I have cases for my mobile companion. However, if I was a female or a male purse carrier, I wouldn't just throw my buddy in there. I suggest a pouch. In fact, I use an Oakley sunglasses pouch. The pouch can also be used to wipe off residue on the phone. I take my iPhone out of the pouch when in use, and I've never had any issues." Ah, good DIY, Jeremy, especially for those of us who always lose our sunglasses and then end up with orphan pouches. Happens to me once a year. And Mike's got a great accessibility tip, which I know is a really important topic to some of you. Here's what he writes. "I've been blind for 3 years after my patrol in Afghanistan was ambushed, have been using the iPhone for about 2. I love what Apple's done with the accessibility features. The phone's fun and for the most part easy to use. Typing was always slow and frustrating though. A simple email response would take 20 minutes if I wanted to write more than a few sentences. Fortunately, an app called Flexi has changed all of this. It's similar to the near-extinct T9 everyone was so fond of, but combines T9-like function with the QWERTY keyboard. It predicts what words you type, even if you don't press the right letter, and lets you flick through similar words simply and easily. This app has changed the way many visually impaired people use their iPhones, and we're all hoping Apple buys them and integrates this typing method across iOS. I typed this whole email using Flexi in only a few minutes." Absolutely awesome, Mike. I love hearing about apps that actually make life easier for the visually impaired. Obviously, that's not me, but I felt like I got the hang of Flexi pretty easily, even though it's a totally different method of typing than the default keyboard. So, D-R-A-G-O-N.
Season.
No.
Design.
No.
Dragon.
Yes. By the way, Flexi's free, but if you want to have the ability to email or text or tweet or update Facebook right from within the app, it's a $4.99 upgrade. So definitely try it out and see if you take to it before you spend $5. Finally, number 5. So is everybody over their Apple Maps anger yet? No? Well, if you aren't, I actually don't blame you. I had an incident last week where I was having car trouble on the freeway. So I got off at an unfamiliar exit and I looked up an auto repair shop on my iPhone and I followed the turn-by-turn directions that Apple Maps gave me. And I ended up in a high school parking lot. As you might imagine, I was not happy. I've been experimenting with an app called Maps Plus that you might like if you're really missing Google Maps. In fact, Maps Plus is Google Maps using their API. Any address gives me the standard terrain, hybrid, or satellite views that I'm used to. I can get driving or biking or walking directions from any two addresses. And even though Maps Plus doesn't do turn by turn, I've got a map view, I've got step-by-step directions, or I've got a list. I can drop a pin at any location, give it a name, get coordinates in a pinch, and even set an alarm for myself when I'm either arriving at or leaving any destination. This could really come in handy if you have to remember to get off at a certain train stop or call somebody where you're halfway through a journey. One annoyance is that Maps Plus is free, but not really. So, for example, you can only set one location alarm or one bookmark for a single route unless you make a $1.99 in-app purchase to unlock restrictions. $2 isn't a big deal, but it's not free. Also, Maps Plus is using the Google Maps API, but there is still no street view and no transit information. Deal breaker for some. That said, it's full of other features that might make it a really good Maps app for you. Until Google gets a move on and we finally see a native Google Maps app in the App Store, and I don't think we should hold our breath for that. And that'll do it for this episode of i5 for the iPhone. If you want links to anything we talked about or to subscribe to the show, totally free, in HD no less, or to catch up on episodes 1 through 13, which would collectively be roughly 130 minutes of serious iPhone fun, just visit us at twit.tv/i5. Email us at i5@twit.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 614-ON-I5, or send us a video with an app review of your own. I'm Sarah Lane, and I'll see you next week.